budget, and we had to work within those. Several things did have to drop out. I've been requested by Senator Jones to suggest that the committee might want to consider adding some money back in for a reforestation project. It would be about $200,000, and John Galea, the state forester, has indicated that that is a necessary program that needs to be carried on. He says the five-year program proposed by the Division of Forestry to meet reforestation needs calls for a cost of between $798,000 and $961,000 a year. This would see the backlog of some 6,600 acres receive some form of reforestation, as well as any new acres that may be harvested. He says realizing the funding for a reforestation project to take care of all backlog areas would be hard to come by. He believes an FY89 increment for $200,000 would be sufficient. This would allow the Division of Forestry to operate the state forest nursery at a capacity of 400,000 seedlings and do the required reforestation on 900 acres harvested a year. Wondering that to the attention of the committee, the reforestation project's not in the budget. It would be possible to fund that by making the very bold assumption we're not going to have very many fires this year. There was not as many fires as they might be projecting. There is an increment in the budget for fire suppression of over $3 million. It would be possible to transfer that money out of fire suppression, $200,000, to reforestation to take care of this problem. I wanted to bring that to the committee's attention and see what kind of thoughts the committee might have. I didn't want to overlook it because Senator Jones had requested it.
Thank you very much, Senator.
He requested yesterday afternoon.
Further discussion. Senator Halpern.
Mr. Chairman, is this a program that is ongoing, or will this be a new program?
Mr. Chairman, there is a program for reforestation that is supposed to be an ongoing program, and the Division of Forestry carries that out. I'm not clear of what type of reforestation they've done over the last year or two, but he says right now, they say right now there is a backlog of 6,600 acres that need reforestation, and that's before you take into consideration any new acres that may be harvested this year. And what they're proposing here is that 900 of those 6,600 acres could be funded. I'm trying to see real quickly. Well, someone from the department might be able to better. Mr. Glee is here, by the way, if you care to ask him that question, I guess. But I wanted to bring it to your attention. He may be able to better tell you what's going on.
The proper motion would be if we're going to open a page. Senator Halpern, did you want to get further clarification on that?
My concern is that the fire suppression fund, I guess when they need it, they spend it, and they come back, and they always get more money. So anything we take out of the fire suppression fund is an increase in the overall spending, regardless of what it says in the cap or what we refer to it as. Is that not the case, the way it really works?
Well, that would be the case, and I'd have to find the fire suppression fund real quick. We did do a substantial increment there, about $3 million. What page is that on? No, that was included over last year's.
Pardon?
Page 30 is the fire suppression fund, and
but I think we specifically added that to the base.
Last year,
that
it was specifically added to the base. We're not over the cap, but last year the funding for the fund in the contractual area, the governor's request for an increment in the fire suppression fund was $3,480,000. We have already reduced that by $190,000 to take care of some other needs. So, as you see from page 30, we have increased fire suppression over last year. I'm not sure what the balance of the fire suppression fund is at this moment.
Don't they have a $3 million supplemental?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, they may have a $3 million supplemental then, so there is no balance until we appropriate it. But anyway, I want to bring that to your attention. And Senator Halpern's point is correct. I mean, if we transfer this money out here, and assuming we have a fire season that might exceed expectations, then there may be a need for another supplemental. So that's something that has to be taken into consideration. There are also those who say that we're better off reforesting, that we do need to do reforestation, and perhaps we should let some of the fires burn, right?
Mm-hmm. I think they do let some burn.
Maybe burn. But anyway, Mr. Galea is here if anyone's interested in asking him, and I have not made a motion, but I want to bring it to the attention of the committee because it does seem to be an area of concern, and Senator Jones
thank you.
Request
Senator,
was that on state lands?
Pardon?
This would be more on state lands.
I think reforestation is, it takes place on where harvesting is done. I don't know if it's all on state land or not. I mean,
federal.
I'm not the expert in reforestation. The state forester is. And
any further discussion on this item? There are no motions before us, then DNR will be closed. DNR budget's closed. Courts. We had one line item. It was for the purposes of intent. It was page 4. Is the intent of the legislature that any lease cost savings resulting from the move of the administrative and support divisions to less expensive space lapse into the general fund?
Which
offered by Senator Hofford. Court system.
Sorry.
On page 4 in the trial courts.
My hearing's going bad into the old age.
To including this intent language. Hearing none, it's included, and page 4 is closed. And if there are no objections, we'll close out the court system's budget. Hearing none, that's closed. Fish and Game. Page 3. Senator Hensley, I believe you had a question on this page.
Oh, yes. What page was that?
3.
Yeah. You disallowed the position request, positions requested, the increased positions requested.
Yes.
Can you know?
That's correct.
I guess that's why I objected.
Okay. Did you go to that juno position?
Well, that was juno position.
Please, <Yeah. laughs> thanks for your help. I appreciate it.
I withdraw my question.
Thank you, Senator.
There are no new positions?
Well, there are new. We just didn't allow the department's increments that were proposed. We did add the Tanana River Sonar, Yukon River Salmon Management, and the Lower Kuskokwim Subsistence projects. And we deleted the administration's proposed increments. Just a comment.
Digestion.
Okay, we'll go on to page 19. Senator Zaroff, I believe you had a question on the Fred Division.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess, and this probably may have been a slip-up on my part, but I know we've got a very tight budget on as far as any additional add-ons, but we had started a program in the Bristol Bay area on developing an aquaculture association. The Regional Aquaculture Association, and we had some funding in there last year to begin the program, and they're about halfway through the development process right now, and I would have offered an additional request of $30,000 to continue that, and hopefully this would have been concluded and the program or in the association in full operation by next year. I don't know. I can't offer any other place there where to take the $30,000 for to put this $30,000 in. So,
well, if it was in the base, it's still in there, but we just deleted any increments.
It's not in the base.
Is that for Fred?
Yeah, yes. Fred Division.
Is it Fred Special Projects or Fred? Fred.
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 What? Page 19.
I have to apologize. Senator Yaroff always talks to the wall up there.
It's me, Senator.
Well, excuse me. I just can't. I can't seem to pick up what he's saying. What are you saying?
I hear you fine.
What was his?
Lost John.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I guess, sir, what I had stated earlier, I don't know where we could get it, and I can't offer any suggestions as to where we can come up with an additional $30,000. But with the MARPIC Regional Aquaculture Association allowing them to continue, there would have to be an additional $30,000 added to the FRED division. And I thought we had submitted the request, but evidently I had slipped up on it. So, yeah. And as far as I know, it's not covered in the other on the other site.
Yeah, I believe it is in the House budget.
Is it in the House?
Game, yeah.
Is it in there? Okay, then as long as it's in there, then I'd like to see it here, but.
So you remove your objection?
I'll remove my objection.
Thank you, Senator.
Did you hear that?
Mr. Chairman, just a 28. Senator Fisher. Page, I guess, I know it's late, it's a question, but why did we delete Trail Lake Sport Fish and not just transfer it from Sport Fish to commercial?
Okay, let me get back to you. Page 19.
In other words, that facility is going to be taken over most likely by Cook Inlet Aquaculture, which means the state's going to get off the hook.
Yeah.
But we're kind of wiping out. All I want to know is why did we not just transfer it over to the Cook Inlet Aquaculture that's going to be running the Trail Lake hatchery versus taking it away, period.
Well, they proposed an increment in addition to the budget, and we didn't allow that addition.
What we've done is taken $131,000 out and used it throughout the budget.
That wasn't included in the base. I mean, that was an increment that they proposed, which was not included in the Senate base.
Okay.
Page 28, Game Division. Senator Halford, I believe you had a question on this page.
We just deleted the increment that they proposed.
Sure. Okay, that concludes Fish and Game. Are there any objections to closing Fish and Game? Hearing none, it's closed. DOT.
You only do it once every 10 years.
Oh, I do it when I have it.
That's right.
We do all this.
Huh?
Did we get a
DOT. Page 51, under Central Region Administrative Services, I believe there were several questions on the intent language. Senator,
I think the question was the intent, if you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, for legislative intent 2, we're talking about $50,000 to take care of the emergency traffic during the fair. The question was, what was the cost of 3, 4, and 5? And the commissioner said he'd have some figures for us just so we had some idea as to what kind of money we're talking about.
Is there anybody from Department of Transportation here with those numbers?
Mr. Chairman, the testimony yesterday from Mr. Commissioner Hickey was that essentially they presently are using emergency traffic control on. Isn't that what they're about to say there?
No, Mr. Chairman, we're trying to find out the chip seal on Campbell Road, the design and construction for the Salmon Bridge project, and also the maintenance for part of Wolverine Road.
Were you here yesterday when
yes.
I came up?
And he said that he was going to give us some idea. I mean,
I'm not objecting to it, it's just it would be nice to know how much we're talking about.
And what page are we on?
Page 51.
Senator Stewart. Mark Wolverine was funded in the capital budget for 50. It has elapsed, or not elapsed, but has surplus in the previous appropriation of about 30 or 35. And we used the local M&O equipment to get the basic overlay of gravel and reconstruction of Mark Wolverine to bring it up. And we just want the Department of Highway to continue on in that. There's been a mix between the borough and the DOE. But if the road is constructed in territorial time, in fact, the first section, 1935, was partnered with the old Alaska Road Commission, and it went to the DOT as we became the state. And then we put some funding into the borough, this, you know, the far end. But what we want to do is just bring up the center from the end of the chip field to probably another mile and a half along the Wolverine Canyon. And we do have a map here. But we just want DOE to see the paper we're trying to utilize them and perhaps provide some equipment to do it that we already have. So if we're not asking to increase funding, we've already done the funding. We just want them to do it this summer and to utilize their equipment to do it.
So there
they
is
have equipment there, and they may or may not do it.
So the chip seal and, I mean, the materials and that are all there. It's just a mess.
Yes. I'm not asking if it's funding DOE maintenance or Department of Transportation maintenance. To the extent, though, of course, there might be some appreciation of equipment.
Well, is that a capital or an operating appropriation?
That's operating. No, not capital. The road's already there, and it's just dump the materials back on gradient. It's one of the very old roads in the valley, and it's got a couple of them got just left out of one reason or another. Both DOE and Borough Planning came back to life this year. There's about 500 people car.
It's our private stuff.
It's laying off the road.
It's our private stuff.
Kind of like our Highland Drive here. It's kind of on the fringe of the denom, but a pretty important service. Probably major.
Is there further objection to the intent language? Hearing no objection, we'll close out page 51. Page 71. Intent language. Further objection to this intent language on page 71? Hearing no objection, we'll close out page 71. Page 111. Highways and Aviation, Interior District, M&O.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Hinsman.
I think I may have been the one that objected. We were looking for a place to put some intent language in, and I have something I'd like to read you. Unless you want to type it up for now.
Why don't you read it to us?
Okay.
See if we can follow along.
It is the intent of the legislature that the department develop uniform standards for the remote airport maintenance contracts. That includes cost of equipment, operation, and depreciation.
Would you like to offer that in the form of a motion? Is there objection? Hearing none, we'll adopt that intent language. If you could get it to Mike Green, so we can include that. Page 111 is closed. Page 121, Western District, M&O.
Chairman?
Senator Hensley.
I believe that's the another location, because,
same intent for
yes,
that?
Same intent.
I think they have the same type of operations.
Exactly.
Would you like to offer that in the form of a motion?
I'll move that same motion.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Page 121 is closed. Page 196, Marine Administration.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Duncan.
I request that be open. I'd move it to be closed.
Question?
Senator Halpern.
What was the Marine Highways program receipts thing? Is that still an open page that we haven't got to yet?
I think that was on page 215, Senator Halpern. I think in M&O's. I believe
that's correct.
My concern on this page was about the power reduction, and I've reviewed that note.
Okay. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and close in page 195. I believe, Senator Halpern, that question is centered around page 215, the $1 million transfer program, general fund program receipts into that category. Is that just where it is?
Just a minute.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, it is...
page 215.
What is that? The $1 million.
To Southeast and Southwest Vessel
Operations?
Yeah,
it's spread between Southeast and Southwest. Wait a minute.
I got
214.
214.
Right. And then it's spread on 216 and 218. The $960,000 goes to Southeast, and $40,000 goes to Southwest. And then we have an explanation of that from Commissioner Hickey on a memorandum that was passed out yesterday for members who weren't at the table.
Okay,
They've miscalculated their fuel expense, Senator Halpern, which has caused some problems. So we have converted the restricted FY89 funds to unrestricted funds, which means they're now in general fund receipts versus program receipts. However, they are still indicating that they are $770,000 short. So we're not granting the full amount. If we granted them $770,000, we'd be over our cap. It's my understanding that the House has gone ahead and said, fine, we're going to give them a couple million dollars. So.
Yeah. Wait, this is $1 million increase?
In maintenance and operation, yeah.
Yeah. It's been, last year we gave $1 million in program receipts to carry things on, and this year we've given them we've just converted those over to general fund.
General fund program receipts.
Right. Because last year there was a big clamor over the fact that they were going to be short-funded in Marine Highlands. Senator Jones was real concerned about last year.
But it is, as you mentioned,
did
a flat million dollars.
Did they run out last year?
Yeah, the supplemental.
I think so.
There's a supplemental coming.
How much are they in the supplemental for?
$1.8 million. Haven't come back for a supplemental.
I have no further objection, Mr. Chairman.
I think we could look at it on the supplemental one comes over.
Reducing it by a million?
No, that's not what he meant. he sometimes says things after everything's been taken care of.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to make a point that the page was closed yesterday.
Yeah, I think everything has been resolved.
Okay, Department of Transportation is closed. If there are no objections. And we'll move into DEC. Senator Duncan.
Sure. I was going to ask for a couple minutes break before we start that. Is that possible? For 2 minutes?
3 minutes? 3 minutes? We have 3 minutes, Mr. Chairman.
We'll take a 3 minute at ease. Okay, Senator Duncan, we'll call the Finance Committee back to order. Senator Duncan, DPC.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Roxanne, do we have copies of this brief? Corey's handing them up. Okay. I think Corey's bringing around a summary for the DEC budget for you to look at as we go through page by page. And the interest is high, I can tell.
Here's mine.
It's where you're at. Senator Duncan.
Okay. We're ready? Okay, for the Department of Environmental Conservation, the FYE authorized level was $12,186.7. According to the formula that was presented to us, we were allowed to give them a health and benefit adjustment of $186,100. There was a decrement taken of the Hazardous Waste Committee of $120.4. So the base was 12,252.4 plus, Mr. Chairman, you allowed $900,000 for increments. Their total increments were 3.8. Of that, we were allowed within the cap, 900,000. So the total general fund cap for the department, 13,152.4, which we did get within. And I would like to run through that if I could. On page two, the the Office of the Commissioner, the governor's amended figure is 500,500. Their difference between the governor's amendment and the Senate proposed is reduction of 14.6 for the departmental safety program. And on page three, there is some intent language that reads as follows. The department shall assess, evaluate, and report on the feasibility of charging fees in connection with performance of its functions relating to issuing permits, certifications, examination proposals, or applications, et cetera. I don't want to have to read all that, but that's the intent of being referred to page three. On page four, there's nothing there. Page six, administrative services. The governor's amended figure is 1,160.6. The Senate is 1,124.4. We got there by deleting a support position of 31,200 and deleting public information increase of 5,000. The next page would be page 12, facility construction operations. The governor's amended figure is 2,412.9. Senate proposed figure is 1,536.3. The difference there is that we reversed a transfer in, we transferred out $795,000 from general funds to the CIP budget for these positions. The administration recommended it be funded by general fund. We're reversing that recommendation. We also added a remote maintenance worker in Kodiak, $72,000.
Could you wait?
Is that a mistake?
Pardon?
Remote maintenance worker where?
Kodiak.
Is that a transfer from Barrow?
I think you meant Cotsie.
No, it's not a transfer from Barrow. Shall we wait?
$10,000.
Let's see, was there a motion to move that position from Kodiak?
Yes.
Okay, anyway, so let me finish through. Anyway, the difference was the transfer out of the general fund positions back to the CIP budget, the adding a remote maintenance worker in Kodiak of $72,000, and we deleted enhancement of sanitation facilities of $82.8, and that's how we arrived at our figure 1,536.3.
New position in Kodiak at 72,000. What level is that position?
That position in Kodiak, let me give you a breakdown on that. If I have the breakdown, I should have it here. There's a lot of travel that goes with remote maintenance workers, so a lot of that is travel. I guess I don't have the breakdown. Perhaps the department can have the breakdown as far as position cost is on that. Is someone here from the department?
Commissioner Kelso?
Yes.
You're going to join us at the table, please.
You're the commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The $72,000 is the same level as the other remote maintenance workers. There are seven remote maintenance workers, each hired by a regional health corporation, and this would establish the same level of support for the Kodiak RMW that exists in the other six regions.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hensley.
I would say that I think those remote maintenance workers are very well worth the money we put into them in terms of operating water and sewer programs that frees up them. So I think they save a lot of money.
A large portion of this is travel, is that correct? I mean, the travel is pretty substantial in these positions.
Travel is substantial and it varies from region to region. So the costs of actually doing the RMW work differ depending on what a variety of factors. But I would say the bulk of this, obviously, the bulk of the $72,000 would have to go to salary for a person hired locally through the Regional Health Corporation.
Senator Inslee, if you had your druthers, would that be where you would have put it?
let me, we did last year at the legislature's request an evaluation of what the advantages and costs of expanding the remote maintenance worker program would be. I would say the first priority for us, and this is not intended to denigrate the importance of RMW and Kodiak, would be to get greater support for each of the RMWs that we have in place now, so they're able to operate basically on a 12-month basis and give coverage in the communities at the level that they should be. $72,000 is actually a little thin, but we do have an additional $39,000 in the subcommittee's recommendation, which would be used to strengthen those positions through all seven regions. We haven't seen their draft budgets yet for the upcoming fiscal year, so we don't know exactly how that would be distributed, but there would be some ability to strengthen that. Let me ask Gary Hayden if you'd like more information, we can give you more about how we would expand that program, how we'd handle it systematically.
I think Senator Hinton's questions have been answered.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Halpern.
The remote maintenance workers, do they provide service within organized municipalities?
They provide services in villages served by the regional health corporations. So it is, to the best of my knowledge, it is the remote villages that are served. Now, some of the RMWs would be headquartered in a larger community, but they do their work in the villages.
But some of those villages are second-class cities.
Sure.
Most weekly, yeah. Or, you know, the villages are, some of course want to go to unincorporated community status.
So the state is funding the operation of the sewer systems in communities that have, well, second class, they can't tax anyone.
Well, they can. You can have sales tax. You can even have a property tax, but it takes a vote of the community. The council can't do it arbitrarily.
Mr. Chairman.
I understand. Thank you.
I might clarify that the remote maintenance workers don't go out and operate the systems.
They repair.
The local communities have their own operation managers and presumably also a revenue stream internally to operate and maintain them. What the RMWs do basically is troubleshoot, training, help the operators keep their systems up.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Zara.
We've been trying to get a remote maintenance worker out there for some time. And I think if we had had one there this last year, we wouldn't have had the serious problems that we had in some of the electrical systems. And it's you know, some of the systems that have gone in just aren't just your regular generators with the boards on it. It's a little more complicated than that. And trying to get people there that in the communities trained to monitor and maintain the equipment has been difficult at times to without having them have the proper support services. And you know, you're well aware of what it has there. We have six villages right around the island that.
They are very cost effective there, and the state has a tremendous investment in a lot of areas. And
they save money in emergency fund?
They do. They save a tremendous amount in emergency fund.
Maybe we'll be able to cut that back.
Increase the remote maintenance worker project, you probably will be able to save money in the emergency fund.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, anything further on page 12?
Senator Dunn.
That's page 12.
Senator Halpern.
Question on the transfer to CIP receipts. Where are they going to come from?
Mr. Chairman, these positions have formerly been funded out of CIP receipts. This year, the administration, OMB, recommended to be transferred into the budget as general funding fund division. We're recommending to be transferred back and funded as they have in the past with CIP receipts. Which is still general fund, it's just a different.
This CIP,
Yes, there's that. We need to, I mean, it's something we have to watch closely. Senator Duncan. Page 14, facilities construction operations, CIP overhead positions. This is where those positions were formerly funded, as you can tell. We just, those are the positions we transferred from page 12 over to here. We transferred them back to CIP funding instead of general fund. So our proposed number is 1015.1 compared to 149.3 that the governor had. Page 18 would be the next page, environmental quality, director's office. There is no change. Page 20, environmental quality, southeast region, no change. Page 22, environmental quality, south central region. There's no change. However, Senator Fisher had requested some intent to be added, which is in the budget, and it's on the page that you see.
Can we just ask the commissioner what the effect of that intent is on the region?
Sure. Commissioner? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the question was, what would be the intent
effect on page 23? The legislature's intent that environmental field officers be assigned to hold out and to deal with waste problems in the camp. And so what is the effect on the region, south central region? Does that take someone out of somewhere else? Or?
Our intent had been to put one at the original requested level. We would have put one in Anchorage, one in Fairbanks, and one in Juneau, and then supplemented that by placing additional staff in some other key areas, one of which would have been Soldotna. If we have only three, then our first priority would be to put them in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau. If one of those has to go to Soldotna, it would leave a gap at that first level. It's a problem, of course, because any of those areas has its own set of hazardous sites that go beyond, say, the Kenai, but there's no doubt that the Kenai Peninsula has plenty of problems to take up the work of the staff person. But it would definitely leave a gap in one of those three.
Well, is there an environmental field officer now in Kenai?
We have an environmental field officer in Kenai Soldotna office. But I believe the intent of, from what I heard in the subcommittee, the intent here is to have someone focusing on hazardous site problems and groundwater contamination related serious health problems that are, potential health problems that are already documented in the Kenai area. So it would be related to this hazardous site project within the budget. But yes, we do have an environmental field officer in the Soldotna office now.
So, Senator, do I understand, then that means you'd have two then in Kenai or Soldotna?
Let me ask Larry Dietrich, the director, for the exact number in the Kenai Soldotna office.
What was that?
There are now two?
Yes, there are.
And there would be then three?
Environmental field officers.
Senator Halpern.
Yeah, my question, I'm trying to figure out what makes sense. If the areas are equally covered now and we're allocating our increase not to the highest priority, then I think we're not doing that. It's not objective.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Fisher.
Since we're going to talk about this for a while, Commissioner, tell us exactly what all these field officers are doing in Soldotna now.
Mr. Chairman.
And what all kinds of duties do they have?
Mr. Chairman, if I could, while I start, if I could ask Larry Dietrich to join me.
Yeah, please do.
The Kenai Soldotna staff handles the full range of our responsibilities. in the Environmental Quality Division, and that would range from safe drinking water through air quality, all of the pollution control programs, hazardous waste, hazardous site cleanup, oil pollution control. That was the crew that had the initial response in the Cook Inlet oil spill, for example. But maybe I could ask Larry to be a bit more specific.
Yeah, they carry out the entire range of department programs, which includes the drinking water program, water pollution control activities, domestic wastewater, air quality, the solid waste, hazardous waste management activities, which is the RECRA activities, the hazardous site investigations, which is what I believe this position is intended to bolster, the oil pollution control emergency spill response are the key programs.
I guess, we can stay with that a little bit. Hazardous site investigations is what we're trying to focus in here on. What are they doing now? Are they meeting all the needs?
No.
How close are they meeting all the
needs? We currently do not have an accurate inventory of the number of sites on the Kenai. One of the things we want to do is prepare an inventory of the hazardous sites on the Kenai. There's been speculation that there may be as many as several hundred, if you include old drilling sites. We presently do not have any. We presently react to sites which are brought to our attention by a variety of means and go into a site assessment and prepare a remedial program to try to do a cleanup of whatever level we can.
How many sites have you found so far? We hear the same thing. There's hundreds, literally hundreds there. And we don't have an inventory. So, but how many have you now logged in your inventory?
We have prepared a comprehensive site list. I don't have the breakout specifically for Kenai right off the top of my head. There's probably 10 to 12 that we're currently involved in right now at some stage of assessment or identification or cleanup. That's about the number that we're currently involved with.
Okay, that if you were to get this one person, is that going to really bring you up to what you really need to do? Just this one function?
No.
What would you need just to be able to do this? And the reason I'm harping on hazardous sites is the problem that we have in the Kenai, we have the oil spill that involves the borough. We have the water situation in Anchor Point, which you're aware of. We could probably put $1 million there and still not satisfied. We have this Sterling site that we're trying to get rid of. And by the way, we've taken borough funds. There's money that could be used for borough roads, and we're using that to try to close that. We have the Soldotna, the South Dump site. In other words, all the problems seem to be really number-wise, quantitative-wise, more targeted on the Kenai than anywhere else. It just seems for some reason everything's happening there, good and also bad. So what would you really need just for hazardous site investigation to bring it up to what you really should have just on that one function alone? Do you have any guesses?
I think we can give you a picture, but I would be confusing the issue, I think, if I suggested that all of those people ought to be put into the Soldotna office in order to deal with Kenai problems. Some of them ought to be in the South Central region out of Anchorage in order to cover that region. And we should have some backup in the laboratory, for example, to do the chemical analysis to identify what the risks are to people. So to deal with that and what we had proposed in the hazardous site investigation increment was a way of getting partway up to where we should be, about a third of the way up to where we should be in doing that function, recognizing that statewide we have about 200 sites identified now requiring some either further site investigation or actual cleanup. So yes, we can give you an idea of how much more we would put in resources in the Kenai, but we would prefer to approach that from a regional perspective that includes the Kenai rather than just from the Kenai.
Well, I don't care. That's assumed they're in Anchorage. I'm not going to ask you body what the transportation is back and forth all the time either, which gets to be a little bit expensive. But right now, let's just say to do the job that needs to be done to identify the hazardous sites on the Kenai Peninsula, I don't care where they are, Fairbanks, Puna, whatever, how many bodies are we talking about to do the job that needs to be done?
Well, the governor's proposal included 6 people in the hazardous site investigation statewide effort, which of course would in part focus on the Kenai, and in addition, 7 in a specific supplemental request to do just Kenai cleanup efforts in 5 different project areas.
Run that by me again. Just for the Kenai, how many
just for the T9 that you proposed?
When the governor went to the peninsula, he indicated that he would try to secure additional funding, which he called supplemental funding, to get an immediate start on Kenai problems. The Kenai money that was requested separately now from the operating budget, which would include inventory of sites, investigation of known sites, oversight of cleanups by responsible parties, and three major cleanups on our own, as well as Nikiski air monitoring, would
I think we did say the dollar figures have to be almost $1 million.
That's
and,
correct.
And you're pretty satisfied that $1 million is going to be in the budget.
I'm not sure that it's going to be in the budget at all.
Right. That's okay. That's my point. If we're really serious about hazardous site investigation, the other thing, I don't know what the figure is here, Mr. Chairman, but you put the body in Anchorage, and I don't think this is an Anchorage versus Soldotna. I think that the obvious thing is that a smart businessman is going to put the worker where the work is. And you're not going to stick them 150 mile away where they got to run back and forth and lose a half a day every time just on transportation, per diem, and everything else. And I think it's a cost saver. If we're going to target in on an area, which I think we should, to put the body there and see what happens. And if we can't justify that body being there, I would not want to see that person there. And that's the only reason why I was concerned about making sure that we are serious to some degree. And this is a very, very minute degree. I mean, we're not coming close to what we should be doing. But I realize the money isn't there either. But I'd rather see somebody out in the field with their jeans on, crawling around in the ditches, than I would sitting behind a desk in Anchorage playing with a calculator or a computer.
Senator Hensley.
Are there any... I noticed there are some federal funds that are in this particular area. Are there any more coming as a consequence of adding more people, or does it work that way?
When the state's cleanup fund, the Oil and Hazardous Substance Release Response Fund, was created, there was not also included staff to go with that. So, in part, what we're trying to do with an increment here is to be able, on a statewide basis, to do hazardous site cleanup, some of which will use state funds, some of which will use federal funds. We're not likely to get more federal funds than what has been included in the increment now. And the request was for $332.8 in general funds, $200 in federal receipts and 10 in general fund match. We are using federal funds wherever we can for the actual cleanup. For example, we have identified $130,000 in actual cleanup money for use to finish the work that we began in the last couple of years in for the Kotzebue fuel oil spill, which of course has been a difficult one. We probably won't get much money from the federal Superfund, because many of our sites occur in areas that have relatively low human populations, and that means they don't score well enough to get that money.
So, if we add these additional people, when you identify the hazardous sites, then would you be able to qualify for the federal money?
It depends on the site itself and whether we get federal money to do the cleanup. But, for example, with leaking underground storage tanks, we have aggressively pursued federal funds there. And as we are able to evaluate these sites and prepare plans to do the cleanup, we can use federal funds for those cleanups.
Well, Chairman, Senator Nixon. I don't know if this is a South Central issue. I think you make the case for me in terms of the need for this body goes.
Senator, you...
Well, Mr. Chairman, my only concern is that there are other sites, you know, hazardous sites, not just on the Kenai, you know, in Anchorage. I know we've talked about those, and I hate to see everything shipped down to Kenai and then be taken away from Anchorage. But...
Well, Senator Hill, my question wasn't even Kenai Anchorage per se. It was just where would they put the position if they had the choice? And we limited their increase very substantially. And every area can come back and say they need more. And if we're going to limit that increase, then I think we ought to leave them the flexibility to put the position wherever it makes the most sense, whether it's Kenai or Anchorage or Mat Valley or wherever. That's all my point.
Senators are...
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. South Central, is that the area we're talking about? Is that the same definition that you, that the Department of Transportation uses?
I don't know what their boundaries are.
What is South Central for DEC? What's that include?
It's generally the area south of the Alaska Range is our South Central Regional Office, and it is not the same as DOT's, but generally south of the Alaska Range.
But excluding Southeast Alaska.
But excluding Southeast, that's correct.
Well, that's a pretty large area, then.
Yes.
Now, what is the effect then of moving a position to Saldatna in terms of the area differential and cost of having a person set up there? In this case here, would you have to be opening up a new office or what?
We wouldn't have to open up a new office. We have an office at Kenai Saldatna. It would reduce the extent to which that position could do work on other spills. Other hazardous sites, such as Senator Ewing suggested. It would have a real effect. Obviously, if left to our own devices, and if we only got three positions, we would put one of them in Anchorage. The original proposal, of course, was for more than that and would have accommodated both the Anchorage and Kenai.
Well, how do you deal with the problems out there on Alaska Dutch Harbor?
There, we have... For us, a difficult situation because the person that we have at Unalaska is there for seafood inspection. So when we get a call about leaking petroleum tanks, Tom Beardsley goes out and does double duty, and we make sure that we have people sufficiently cross-trained so they can do that. But we don't have someone there specifically to work on that kind of a problem. So basically, that person is in a different division. But is cross-trained to do that kind of work, and we would work it out of our Anchorage office then, so that the South Central Regional Office hazardous site folks would deal with Dutch Harbor problems, since we don't have a full office on the chain.
But you do have a full office there in Kenai.
Yes, we have an office. I want to be careful. I don't give you the impression that we are heavily staffed in any of these places. I think you know we're thin in every office in the state.
Senator Halpin.
Just for the information to members, the Kenai office has 5 environmental engineers or field officers and 2 clerk typists.
We're
going to
give
them
another one?
No. Senator Fisher. Senator Halpin, you were environmental engineer, guys.
I think
you ought to know. Would you tell the senator and the members here what the environmental engineers do as far as the problem we're addressing now?
Yeah, the distinction between the environmental engineer, and I do stand corrected that as I approach the table, Mark gave me the corrected number here that I had, but the distinction between the environmental engineers and the environmental field officers is that the environmental engineers generally review those engineering plans that are required by statute regulation to be signed and sealed by a professional engineer. And those generally are plans for water and wastewater treatment facilities. It may involve air and some aspects of solid waste disposal landfills, et cetera.
And where do the, while we're at it, where do the sanitation engineers fit in?
Well, the environmental health division activities are in the sanitary and job class, and they are in the other division, environmental health division.
How many environmental field officers, I guess if I can just go on, do we have in the Anchorage office?
Well, Larry's calculating that. I want to make sure we don't get really confused here, because hazardous site investigations, I want to emphasize, has no field staff at all. The people we're talking about have other responsibilities, and to the extent that they do hazardous sites, we borrow them or steal them from another project that they have a commitment in. So, and what we're talking about here is the first staffing for hazardous site investigations that this department has at all. So those other offices, you know, we're operating. If someone is doing hazardous site work out of the Kenai, it means they're not doing oil spill contingency plans or some other function. Same in all the other offices. This one has got nobody to do the field work now.
Any further questions on this particular item?
Just a comment. I think what we're talking about here, this is an issue that you can't base on population. This is an issue that has to be based on where the problem is. The problem, apparently, seems to be greater in the Kenai Peninsula for that land mass than anywhere else in the South Central area. At least if they're not there, then I don't know why we're always being called because of oil spills in the inlet. People got contaminated water in Anchor Point. These are major catastrophes out there. And I don't think you're going to see $900,000 going to that program. If it is, I say you're going to have to do a lot more dancing to raise that money than you did over at Mike's place for the benefit for the Lung Association. But that's all I'm saying is let's put it where it is, and hopefully this person goes out, does the inventory, and does a great job, and that's all. But I don't think you can look at this from a population. You have to look at it where the problems exist now. And we know they exist now, and there's going to be a lot more in the same population area, which is not as great as Metropolis. So all I'm saying is I'd just like to see the intent there. I also realize, Mr. Chairman, that intent doesn't mean diddly squat. So
good point. Senator Halpern. Senator Halpern.
Mr. Chairman, it is, in my opinion, ridiculous to establish a new hazardous waste program with the offices based Fairbanks, Juneau, and Soldotna. However, knowing what the intent really does mean, I withdraw my objection.
Thank you. Senator Duncan, we could move on. Please.
Are you ready for the next page?
Please.
Page 24, Environmental Quality, Northern Region, no change. Page 26, Environmental Quality Monitoring and Lab Support. The governor's admitted figure was $1,406,000. We reduced quality assurance increment from $240,000 to $96,100, allowing three positions for 7.5 months. Gives us the total of $1,262,100. Page 28, environmental quality, air, and solid waste. The governor's amended figure was $3,349,900. The
Senator Fisher.
Just want to point out to the body, I'm sure you can see it too, of these 26 positions, got to make sure I'm right.
Well, I haven't
in air and solid waste, that's what you're talking about, Eric. Okay.
I'm just getting ready to talk about it.
Okay, go ahead. Then I'm sorry. Go
ahead. Senator Duncan.
Pardon? Can we go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead and run through that, and Senator Fisher.
Oh, okay.
A few questions.
Okay. Environmental quality, air, and solid waste. The governor's amended budget was $3,349,900. We are proposing $2,667,300 of the increment. There's a $278,800 increment to enhance air quality management. We allowed $93,000 of that. That would give three positions of 7.5 months each. There was a $147,000 increment requested by the administration for solid waste management. We've allowed $98,000 of that, three positions of 7.5 months each. Of a over $300,000 increment for hazardous site investigation, we allowed 93.1 of that, three positions at 7.5 months each, and deleted the increment for assumption of RCRA program for hazardous waste, $208,200. So the governor had requested in this budget, I guess 19 new full-time positions, somewhere in that neighborhood.
19.
And we've allowed 10, but those positions aren't necessarily full-time because they're funded for 7.5 months each.
Senator Fisher.
Look, just a question of the commissioner, I guess. When we talk about these bodies, are we talking laboratory
construction folks, or are we talking field folks?
Commissioner?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since we're talking about basically a smaller chunk of most of these, maybe I can tell you what we were intending originally. I'm not sure I can give you the specifics of how these would break out, because we'll have to reevaluate how to go forward if it's at this level of funding. But in air quality, what we were trying to do is to reduce the time required for the most complicated air permits from 62 weeks to 26 weeks. We were trying to inspect major sources that are likely to have the most effect on Alaskans' health and safety. Obviously, this is about a third of that in the air area. And I think we'd have to look pretty carefully at how we can get the most return from that. But they're intended to be field folks. However, in the air program, it's highly technical, involves a lot of computer modeling, as well as field investigations. So, but all of these are intended to be out in the field working on problems that we can actually try to address. The solid waste program, for example, involves largely dealing with drilling wastes from oil and gas drilling, and working with communities to try to get some of their solid waste problems under control, especially in rural Alaska. But they're clearly we won't have enough funding to do all of that work. We would have to give some, probably the first attention to handling oil and gas drilling wastes under the solid waste regs. And then we've already talked about the hazardous site investigation.
Mm. Chairman, I guess what I was looking at, I mean, no matter which version you look at, you're talking drilling waste is probably the most important. I thought the Kenai, I mean, let's look at this, had probably one of them, has quite a few drilling waste sites, do they not?
Yes,
so you could, but this person will be operating, flying back and forth all the time out of Anchorage, right?
Well, the drilling mud regs, they're basically two clusters of areas. One is on the Kenai, and the other, of course, which is much larger and more active right now, is North Slope oil and gas drilling mud and other drilling wastes. So what this was intended to do is to implement the state regulations, which were worked out along with the assistance of a lot of different groups, including industry, and to put those into practice. Obviously, we won't have as many resources to do that as we proposed. And the proposal, original proposal, would only take us about a third of the way to where we needed to be in that area anyway.
Yeah, I guess, Mr. Chairman, I was looking at the solid waste, and I agree the North Slope probably has quite a few of these particular sites, and you would think that at least somebody would go to Fairbanks. But as I understand it, the way the 10 may be distributed is 7 to Juneau and 3 to Anchorage. And that's why I ask if these are lab jobs. I can understand it if it's a central lab or something, but Fairbanks would get nothing for the North Slope area to get in again to where the problem is. Or is that not fixed? Maybe you intend to get some up that way.
Well, we had not made a distribution of positions at this level. Obviously, it's a very different picture if we're moving a smaller step toward that minimum core level. What we proposed is a third of the way to the minimum core level. This is less than that. We'll just have to figure out how we can get the best return. And it is, you know, it's intended to field presence, laboratory support, and the technical backup to go with that, you know, is where we can get good return. That's very different than administrative structure, which is not what we're looking for here.
I don't want to labor this at all. I mean, just looking, I would hope that we see some noted improvement in the field and more presence in the field and less time in sitting behind a desk. That's all I'm saying, is have the folks out in the North Slope borough
have the folks out in the Kenai Borough looking at those particular sites that are out there drilling sites.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman? Senator Ewing. Yeah, just to re-clarify that, I think it's real important to understand that those that they are going to be field people. They're going to be funded. All the 10 positions are going to be funded for 7.5 months.
Nine of them for sure at 7.5 months. So
I assume they're going to be out there during seasonal times of the year to do the kind of things that have to be done unless it's an emergency, and they have to go out and handle it no matter what time of the year it is. But you're saying, Commissioner, that those positions will be essentially out in the field, even though they're listed as being here in Juneau?
Well, I'm not sure what Senator Fisher was referring to. I guess it's in the... Are you looking just at the short form?
No, I guess I'm looking at the...
I'm looking at the one on page 20...
No. Okay, what I'm looking at is I'm trying to get in my mind where the request was for 58 bodies. The governor amended it to 19, and we cut it to 10. Now, I realize that's a big difference between the optimate, 58 and 10, but I think of the 10, what I'd like to see is some action in the field versus sitting in a lab. If you don't have the people out in the field doing the field work, you don't need the people in the lab doing the analysis.
Mr. Chairman, it's our intention to get the best return on real problems that we can. But I guess I would disagree that sometimes you need that person in the lab or there's no point in going out and collecting the data in the field. So that's the balance we're looking for. But given the funding that you have before you, we're certainly going to try to get whatever field return that we can. Some of it may have to be in laboratory work or other office design work, for example, engineering design work. But this isn't going into new bureaucratic structure. This is to work on actual problems.
Well, Mr. Chairman. Senator Ewing, are they permanent positions or are they part-time positions? They're full-time positions.
Full-time positions, but funded at 7.5 months.
One part-time in Juneau, I think. Part-time is great. They're going to be permanent positions.
Yeah,
they're funded at 7.5 months, but they're considered permanent employees.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll probably continue to be permanent employees.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
how do you get the rest of the money?
I'm not sure. Mr. Chairman, whether they're considered to be permanent employees or not depends on what we do in succeeding years as to whether we continue this increment in DEC or decide that we want to go back to where they were in FY87 or 88 or whatever. Of course, the agency request was much higher than what we're funding. The department can respond to the question on what happens after the 7.5 months. We recommended, the subcommittee recommended, they be funded at this method because of the department's request that that's the way that the funding be allocated. If I'm not mistaken, so they can explain how the 7.5 months funding works, but that was their request for funding. If you want to just reduce it this amount and fund them at more than 7.5 months, you're going to end up with less positions, is what you're going to end up doing. If you fund positions at 12 months, you'll end up with seven positions or somewhat less. So we're trying to maximize the small amount of dollars we have to give the department maximum flexibility to be able to address the problem. But you can surely ask the department to explain how that 7.5 month funding works.
Just a quick question here. Like, if you look at page 29, line 6, Environmental Engineer 2 in Anchorage, they show funding, cost, and funding, general fund, $92,400.
Well, that's what, Mr. Chairman, that's what was recommended by for the whole thing for two positions, for Environmental Engineer 2 in Anchorage. One position would be $92,400. That is not what we're funding them at.
I see. These are just the governor's level.
That is not what we're funding them at. We're funding them, for example, I don't know which position that is here, but whatever one it is, it's funded at 7.5 months with the necessary funding. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Chairman. Senator Fisher, maybe I'm wrong. For 29B, isn't that at the top of the page what we're funding here?
Yes, if you want to look at 29...
Yeah, that's a compilation of the...
Yeah. If you want to look at 29B, Mr. Yeah. Chairman...
Well,
29B under a set of analysis is the ones,
oh, I see. Okay.
The ones we're recommending.
Okay.
And their salary and benefit cost, how much federal fund, how much are general fund. So you can see the difference there.
Right.
And they are funded at that 7.5 months instead of the full funding you're looking at on page 29.
Mr. Chairman, maybe I can shed some light.
Senator Halford, go ahead.
Well, I just want to make sure that this is not a built-in supplemental.
Yeah.
I mean, if it is, then we're not, you know, going back to where we're trying to go overall in terms of spending. We're just deferring spending to the next year, but committing it now.
Commissioner?
Mr. Chairman, the reason that the positions appear here as 7.5 months is that when we made the governor's request, we knew it was going to take some time to get those positions on board, so we budgeted them in the budget for 9 months. We also set up a specific schedule for the recruitment effort and laying the groundwork now so that we'd be able to come on board with those positions to dovetail with the budget appropriation. We knew that the House was going to reduce that from 9 to 7.5, and there are some advantages in that because it allows us the ability to, there are some advantages in having it reduced from 9 to 7.5 rather than losing the entire positions, because it allows us to give broader coverage across these programs and across the state than we could otherwise. However, I think the issue that Senator Halford raises is one that you'll be able to take a clear look at next year, because we're not only budgeting in the format that you see here, but we bring in a project budget at the Senate's request, as a matter of fact. So you can see how these positions actually are handled. And if we come in at a 12-month request for the next year, you'll be able to see exactly what the deliverable is and be able to see in tracking form what we delivered with this 7.5 months.
Senator Halford.
I just want to make, there is no supplemental received to fill in any portion of this.
That's correct.
And I wanted to make that point. I think what the commissioner is saying is you intend to bring them on for 7.5 months' work. Is that,
that's right.
Is that correct? The original intent was 9 months. They're now paying that back to give broader coverage so that they can have more people out there working for 7.5 months instead of having six people working for 9 months.
But the problem is that the time you need them is the summertime. So if you hire them for the first summer in the fiscal year, then what do? To keep them around for the spring of the next, you know, the following spring to be in the fiscal year? I'm just concerned that you're building yourself a mousetrap for this now.
Okay, if there are no further questions, Senator Drucker, could we continue?
Okay, page 30, environmental quality, water quality management. The governor's amended was $3,183.8. The Senate proposed $2,295.2. The difference is that for the emergency response increment, we allowed only $48,400 for one position. For oil pollution contingency plans, one position was allowed, which is $50,400. Deleted drinking water increment and deleted the placer mining increment. Page 34, environmental health, director's office, no change. Page 36, environmental health, animal health and dairy industry, no change. Page 40, environmental health, food industry, no change. Page 42, environmental health, sanitation. The governor's amended figure was 1384.5. Senate proposed is 1036.2. The difference is they have requested, the department requested a $464,300 increment for increased inspection. We allowed $116,000 of that increment. That's what the difference is. And then page 44, environmental health, former lab, no change.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Duncan. Do you have a motion to adopt the EDC budget?
Chairman, I would move that we adopt the DEC budget.
Is there objection? Hearing none, DEC is adopted and closed. We're going to take a break to go to session. We'll reconvene at 1:30. The schedule is to go until 5:30 or 6 this afternoon, and then pick up again at 7 o'clock and go until at least 9:30 this evening. Finances adjourned. Meeting back to order. Present are Senators Halford, Hinsley, Duncan, Fisher, and Senator Binkley. We left off.
We've completed the Department of Environmental Conservation.
The next one on the schedule is DOE, Department of Education. Might just bring to members' attention, too, we are down to education. We still have University, CNRA, Commerce, Public Safety, Corrections, HESS, Governor, and Legislature's budget to finish this afternoon and evening.
No problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Senator Fisher is the chairman of the subcommittee.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Did you get a sheet at all on education?
Yes. I think it was just passed out.
Okay.
Two pages?
Okay. Yeah, two pages. Yeah. It's page by page below. Okay. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. What we've tried here is to any cuts that have to be made would not affect kids, correct? And so we didn't really get into the internal part of the budget. Some people have suggested, for example, we take money from close up, student leadership, and things. We didn't touch those with the tax, so I just want to say that from the outset. Okay, if you look at the sheet, pages 2 through 24 were all done by Senate Bill 330. So, and it just shows you there's no change by the Senate because it was taken care of by Chapter 12, SLA 1988. So then we can go directly to district support services on page 30. And we have the same as the governor's amended. But also what I had in the comments to show you what was done even in the governor's amended. It's one new permanent full-time person in federal funds. It's federal funds. It includes the teacher certification of $10,500. On page, page 30. I jumped right to 30 unless you want to go look at something else, which I don't think we have too much control over. Okay, well, so we're adding on page 30, the governor requested a one position and the Senate went along. Of course, we're not changing the amended figure at all. We're in agreement. But what, in effect, that does, it does add a new permanent full-time person.
So you're allowing the governor's
proposed increment? Yes, we're allowing his increment, yes. And then, Mr. Chairman, we then move to page 36, and again, there's no change in the Senate version over the governor's amended. The dollars are the same, but I felt it important to also let you know that there's three new permanent full-time positions that are created, even within that position in debt, for the $697,000.
This is page
36.
CIP overhead, we
this was the governor's amended, yes. And the missing pages, Mr. Chairman, will be because there was no change at all. And that's why I'm just jumping to the changes.
Okay.
Okay. Then on 54 is the next one where there is a... Chairman, on and there is a difference of 383.7. And what we did, we backed out Gitche. Was included. So Gitche had, we backed out $606,000. That was to be picked up by the Gitche program if that amount was funded. And what they've done is we've added student assessment, funding one existing PCN for $122,000, and add life skills curriculum, suicide. Now that's a Gitche program, part of the Gitche there, also the suicide prevention program.
You're doing good so far.
Okay, we've funded 1546 and curriculum disallowed were a Gitche recommendation.
We disallowed if you look on page 55. Would probably be the best thing to go over. It shows each breakdown and we increased the existing PTF. BFT.
Okay.
Hang on to it.
Senator Fisher?
Yes.
Senator Halpert? Are you done?
Well, the...
Page 55.
Yeah, I'm still trying. So the increase is student assessment.
What we've... wait a minute. Student assessment at $122,003. That's an increment that the department felt as being one of their highlights. It was reduced from $254,000. They requested $254,000. And this is the, I met also with the chairman of the state school board, and this was their highest priority. So we didn't have enough money without cutting other programs to give them $254,000, so it was $122,300 that was put in for that particular program. The life skills curriculum suicide, that's $100,000, which you would have to show in there also. That was originally $150,000, but that was agreed to go with $100,000. To page 56 on the correspondence study, there is no difference in dollar amounts between the two, but it does add new positions. And I thought you ought to know it's two permanent full-time, two permanent part-time, four temporary in correspondence.
And Senator Fisher, where did the reductions? Oh, okay.
No,
it came from other programs.
But this particular one is exactly the same as the governor amendment. What I'm showing you, Mr. Chairman, mind here on page 56 is to let you also know that even though there is no difference or no change between us and the governor's amendment, there are new positions in the governor's figure.
Right, so you went above what the Senate base was, basically.
No,
we went with the governor's amendment.
We allowed those positions in the base?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, this wasn't an increment.
Okay.
Yes.
Revenue neutral increments.
Wait a minute.
The 88
authorization was
$23,400.
They were all interagency receipts.
The increase is totally
interagency
receipts.
Mm-hmm. That's my understanding. That's what the short position shows. Page 56 under funding sources. Education admin 1, 57.9, interagency receipts.
Where are we funding the interagency receipts?
I don't know, Senator Fisher.
Question. This comes out of the foundation formula by the district to
the Commissioner student.
Yeah. So it's a thing at all. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Fisher.
Okay, then we jump to page 58, education special projects. There is a difference, an increment, looks like a 23.6, but you almost have to go to the one below it, which was the Leading Fort Yukon Book Center grant, and that's where that 23.6 came from. This is a request by Senator Binkley to do some transfer.
That's correct.
From within his own.
And then the balance of that was actually taken as a deletion below the base, and then we picked up an efficient gain.
Yes.
Beginning for Fort Yukon Salmon Study or something.
Senator Fisher.
Okay. Then, Mr. Chairman, the next difference is page 74, unless you have some in between, everything stays the same.
Maybe you can just give us just a moment to
sure.
Catch up to you. 59 is the education special project, which we kept the same.
Are you up to 88?
We're at 74. It's in between 74 if you have any questions.
Page 74, Senator.
Yes, okay. On page 74 of Bulkhead Special Projects, we deleted the Fort Yukon Book Center grant, transferred, of course, 23.6 to the program above, what we just talked about. And, of course, that was for the academic decathlon. And the balance went to Fish and Game.
Balance went to where?
Fish and Game, to School of Fish.
Fish Women's School.
I'll have to say that again.
How much went to Fish and Game?
107.4.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. You're glad to see you're all excited. Okay, then we're now at 88%. Executive administration. And it shows a deletion of a total of $218,000. We deleted again the Gitche component that was there. There was also an intent there for $15,000. The intent of the legislation of $15,000 contractual line be utilized by the department to assist the solution of East Borough preparing to assume educational power.
That was from Barrow.
I think it was from Fort Yukon also.
No.
Senator Piccoli, I didn't say anything. I assume that that's something that you would like to see happen.
On this one?
Oh. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dunn. No, I'm sorry.
Well, okay, that's not about the pressure. That's fine. Senator Fisher, if you could continue.
Okay.
Yes. Senator Hensley.
I have a little intent here. I think it should probably go on 89
Senator Hensel.
Yeah, part of our recommendations that came out of the Special Committee on Suicide Prevention was a request to the school district that they come up with a plan of their own to help young people that may be at risk in their school system. And this shouldn't be a huge expense to them. It's more or less a matter of focusing in on the subject and coming up with some means of identifying young children who are in the school system that may be at risk or have problems and try to figure out some means of helping them out and maybe directing them to certain agencies if necessary. And that's the intent of this.
Is there a motion to offer that?
I would move it, yes.
Is there objection?
No, just a question.
Senator Fisher.
Thank you. You do mean November 1st, 1988. That gives them just this month, May.
Yes.
During the interim, I don't think they're going to be doing anything. Then just September and October. Is that enough time?
Yes, I think it would be.
School districts have administrators should be around.
They would be around. I hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
I would move the amendment.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the intent language is adopted. Senator Fisher.
Okay. Then on page 99, the department. Overhead expenses, that's the same, Senate, the same as the governor's amended.
What page is that, sir?
Page 94.
94?
94?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
increased risk management premiums. You allowed those things?
Yes.
Okay. $23,000. 102.
Right. Oh. Okay, then on page 102, there's a change of $921,000. We reduced the grants, and also there's an intent that the intent says $210,000 to the Alaska Rep and $190,000 to Perseverance Theater. Also, I'd like to mention that in the base, there was another $100,000, which was the transfer to the Alaska Rep Theater from Department of Commerce and Economic Development. So that doesn't show here, but it is in the base.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Hensley.
What?
Excuse me, Senator Halpern.
Guys look alike. I would ask that we keep this page open. Senator Ewing had some questions on this page. He's testifying. And
okay. Page 102 will be kept open. Senator Fisher.
Okay, then, Mr. Chairman, we go the whole way to page 126. They might want to look everything